Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week. This is Chris in Dallas.
I'm Mike in Boston, Massachusetts.
And this is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And this week we're covering IPAs.
Yes.
Yes.
So
the
quick,
hoppier, the better.
Quick rundown of the show that we're going to be covering this week. For our fermentation conversation, we're going to be talking about Dogfish Head's 60-minute IPA.
That's then 1 hour. That's 1 hour, if you didn't know.
1 hour of continuous hopping.
And then we'll go into some hop topics. We have a couple of interesting tidbits of information to talk about this week. Then we will go into our tasting flight segment. Mike, what are you covering this week?
Victory Brewing Company's Hop Devil.
Excellent. And Toby?
I'll be doing Alaskan IPA from Alaska Brewing Company.
Nice. And I will be covering St. Arnold's Elisa IPA out of Texas. So then after that, we will go into our tweet of the week.
Yeah.
Then we'll cover some backwash. We got a little bit of backwash to go over. And then we'll go into our last call and wrap things up and give you guys our pint ratings and that sort of thing. So the first thing I want to go into is talk a little bit about the IPA style that we're going to be covering this week. IPA, of course, standing for India Pale Ale. The style is usually between 4.5 and 7.5 ABV. That's alcohol by volume. The IBUs are between 40 and 60, which are pretty high. The IPAs tend to be the hoppiest of the beers, actually. Yeah. The style started around 1780 by a brewer named George Hodgson, which developed out of the October beer style. It was brewed with more hops for better transport on long voyages. The hops having a preservative quality that helped the beer to last more than just a few weeks.
Antiseptic quality.
And the reason that it's called an India Pale Ale is because of the large number of British colonial soldiers located in India at the time, and a lot of the beer was going to them. So
the American version is I think IPA stands for International Pissing Contest Ales. Because it's pretty much the more hops, the better.
Yes.
Yeah, very different from the original English style.
Yeah, they definitely try to get as aggressive as possible here in the Americas.
Yes.
So, do you guys want to talk about anything else? What you guys been going on the last week or so?
No,
or are you guys just ready to drink some beer?
Just ready to drink some IPAs, man.
Oh, I'm totally ready to dig into these IPAs for sure.
Excellent. Let's get into our fermentation conversation then.
Just drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, this is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
And welcome to the fermentation conversation. This week we're talking about Dogfish Head's 60-minute IPA. It's not, but it's a dogfish.
That's 1 hour.
Again. So the brewery is Dogfish Head Brewery, located in Milton, Delaware. Their website is www.dogfish.com. The style of the beer is, as everybody knows, an IPA. Mm-hmm. The ABV is a 6%. The IBUs are 60, so it's a pretty hoppy beer, which most American IPAs are. The ingredients pulled from their website, it says, our flagship beer, a session India Pale Ale brewed with Warrior, Amarillo, and Mystery Hop X.
Session beer. I get such a kick out of that they call it a session beer.
I love session beers.
It's a pretty hoppy IPA for a session beer, but I guess for IPA lovers, it is a good session beer.
Yeah.
Say it's a powerful East Coast IPA with a lot of citrusy hop character. We'll be the judge of that. Mm-hmm. And the session beer for beer geeks like us. So,
I get
interesting note, the brewery opened in 1995 and was Delaware's first brew pub.
Nice.
Rate Beer gives it a rating of 96 out of 100, so it's a pretty highly rated IPA. Beer Advocate, the users, give it an A-, and the Allstrom Brothers give it a B+. So, I don't know if you guys feel like it, but I would really like to drink some IPA.
Let's do it.
So we're just using, we're pouring these into standard pint glasses.
Yeah.
But one thing I noticed is Beer Advocate, you know, they post what type of glassware you should use, and they say pint glass, but then on Rate Beer, they actually said snifter, which I thought was kind of weird, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think the 90-minute, they might have had it confused with weird. The 90-minute, because I think the 90-minute requires a snifter, not really the 60, but...
Yeah, I do have this from Stone's 10th anniversary. Their 10th anniversary
there you go beer again.
Was an India Pale Ale. No, I'm just talking about the glass. I have a glass from them. That's a kind of a tulip style.
San Diego talk glass. Here on Beer Coasters. Once again, San Diego.
Anyway,
the best beers come from the Napa Valley of.
So okay,
we'll get to some of that later.
Back on topic.
Back on topic. So, Mike, you want to talk about the look of the beer?
I will say it's clear golden goodness. I was expecting it to be a little hazy. I'm not sure why I thought that, but it's a nice, great, fluffy, off-white head. It's hard to see the lacing.
Mine's got about a finger.
About a finger.
Talk about a finger. I would say about two fingers of head. Yeah, well, I get about one finger now, but it's hard to tell the lacing because it's pretty much full glass right now. But I'm gonna take
a sip. The head retention's nice. It's hasn't changed much since I poured it, you know, a little while ago. It stayed there pretty good. Lots of bubbles too.
Yeah, it's very carbonated. So I'm getting on the aroma. I'm getting some citrus, definitely. Those hops are coming through nicely.
I'm getting like some pine.
I was expecting a little more
too.
Yeah,
definitely piney.
And the floral, this is a floral smell. It's kind of interesting. Makes me kind of wonder what that mystery hop X is.
Yes, definitely.
A little malty too. I'm getting a light hint of some maltiness to it. Mm.
Which is good. An IPA should be, you know, a pretty hoppy beer, but you should still get the malt in there to keep it well balanced.
I'm surprised with as much hops that's in here that it is really well balanced. But I mean, I got like my first sip was like hop oil, you know, hop oil and citrus and but still got the malt there. It's
really the hops good. Definitely hit you right off the bat.
It's kind of a sweetness that kind of washes over your tongue, too. Even though the hops are do a really good job of bittering, it's got kind of a sweetness that just kind of washes over. It's nice.
Yeah, it's a nice... There's a
little bit of dryness, a dry kind of... You can get the dry, bitter hops.
Yep. I like the mouthfeel. I like how carbonated it is while still being kind of creamy. I like that a lot.
Mm. Creamy goodness.
This is a very good example of a good IPA. Not too hoppy. It's not, you know, it's not a double IPA. It's not a really strong IPA. It is a good session IPA. Yeah. I mean,
I'm also getting a little bit of apple, but that's kind of typical with me when I'm trying, you know, hoppy type beers. I usually get a little bit of this apple, kind of apple skin bitterness to it.
Cool. Yeah, I get that.
In the aftertaste. This is good. Yeah, this is very well balanced. I like it. It's not, it's not overly hoppy. It's not. It definitely has a good mouthfeel.
Yes, I agree.
Nice,
excellent. So, Mike, any ideas on what you'd pair this with?
I was thinking about this, and I decided on a chicken pesto pasta with lots of garlic.
Ooh, garlic. Yeah, totally.
Love me some garlic.
This is really good.
Yeah.
I think we should go...
Excellent. And with that, I think we'll move into some hop topics.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
So, once again, welcome to our Hop Topics segment. This is where we cover some of the most recent beer news over the past week or so. So, this week, Mike is going to start us off. Mike, what do you got for us?
I have an article from beertown.org. And this is a craft brewing statistic. It's Vermont weighs in at the top state in breweries per capita. The great state of Vermont tops the list of U.S. state breweries per capita based on the Brewers Association count of operating breweries and the 2008 population estimated found at www.census.gov. It goes on to
excellent.
Goes on to talk about for every 32,698 people, there's 19 breweries.
Wow.
Which is, that's a lot.
I'm going to Vermont.
Now, it's not saying it doesn't have the most, it's just breweries per capita. So, you know, it's where California has a couple hundred breweries, and these guys only have, what does it say that they have? I have it on my PDF.
Also 19.
Have a list. Yeah, the total breweries is 19. That's right. We have a PDF list that basically goes and ranks the breweries, and it's an interesting sheet if you want to check it out. It is beertown.org, and they have a downloadable PDF, and they show all the different number of breweries, and it's a cool little stat
sheet. The one that surprised me is Colorado at 103 breweries. Granted, it's number 5 per capita on the list, but 103 just in Colorado. Wow. That's a lot, man. I know there's 221 in California, but there's a lot of people in California too.
Exactly.
Not nearly as many in Colorado.
Oh, there's what, like 12, 15 million people in California or something?
Yeah.
So, we need more breweries in California.
Yeah. I think there's a few in San Diego.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that in just a second.
All right. And
With that, why don't you go ahead and talk about it, Toby?
Well, once again, San Diego has made the subject of discussion here at the Beer Coasters podcast with the Stone's 13th anniversary ale. Excuse me, which will be hitting store shelves June 29th of this year. If you're familiar with the Stone beers and their annual releases of, they usually do some kind of interesting styles of beers. Well, last year was their bitter chocolate oatmeal stout, which was top notch on my list. Excellent beer.
I agree.
Anyway,
I got one bottle of it.
Yeah.
So do I. I still got one in the fridge. I can still find those, actually, here in town.
Well, I could use some, so...
Hey, I already sent you some. but anyway, it's...
We don't advocate illegal activity here on Beer Coasters.
No, he sent me some books about it.
Yeah. He sent books, yes.
It was a flyer and a link to a website, you know.
So anyway, what's the 13th anniversary?
Well, they just released what it is. It's a Imperial Double Red, which sounds pretty crazy. They're saying that they use more pounds of hops per barrel than any beer they've ever made. They use Chinook hops in the brew house for bittering and flavor. Then they dry hop it with a 50-50 blend of Simcoe and Centennial.
Which is saying a lot.
For Stone Brewery?
For Stone.
To say that's the most amount of hops. That's big deal.
As an added bonus, when they dry hop it again just prior to filtering and packaging, that's right, their popular double dry hopped process for the first time ever in their bottled beers. So look for
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
June 29th is when it's released. I know I'll be looking for it.
I'll be looking for it, but I seriously doubt I'll find it.
I'll look too.
Yeah, stone. You know, you could find stone pretty much across the country, but you're getting the usuals. You know, the usual suspects of Arrogant Bastard and the Pale Ale and the IPA and stuff like that. But these special releases, you know, the annual releases, they might be a little harder to find. But I'm pretty sure I can find them here in Nevada and definitely California. So look for it. 13th anniversary, June 29th.
That's it for me. Nice. For
I just wanted to pipe in real quick because I'm almost finished with my dogfish head here. I just wanted to say like how well balanced of a beer this is. They say it's a session beer, but it's like a really kind of sophisticated session beer. It's really nice, and I just wanted to say that, even though we're not in that section of the show. Thank you.
No, that's great. Yeah, I'm looking at my glass, and the lacing on the side of my glass is just coated down the whole thing. This is a really nice IPA. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, some more smells I got out of it. I got some towards the bottom of the glass. I got some real earthy tones in there. You know, some dust and some earthness.
Maybe you should clean your glasses better, dude.
I tell them.
Just kidding. Just kidding. But anyway, on to my hop topic for the week. This one I pulled from Beer News on Beer Advocate. The brewers at Left Hand shave heads for beer and release St. Vrain Triple Ale. So what they've done is the brewery is close to the St. Vrain River, which is just due west of the brewery, Left Hand Brewery in Colorado. They are brewing this St. Vrain Triple, which is a Belgian style.
Yeah.
They got some activity going on back there.
Yeah.
So what they've done is...
And Renee just got home.
Not a problem. So what they've done is they've created this new beer, and as part of their ritual to rolling out the beer, to maximize authenticity, says Joe Schiraldi, Vice President of Brewing Operations, the entire brewing staff shaved their heads and bathed in baptismal ecstasy on the banks of the St. Vrain.
What?
Wow. So they all took on this sort of monk lifestyle type thing where they all shaved their heads and bathed in the banks of the St. Vrain. Wow. And it says, so raise a glass to the pioneering spirit that brings brews of great distinction to the table.
Wow.
I'm going to raise my glass.
Nice. They go on to talk about the beer is a medium-bodied brass in color and available in 22-ounce bombers and kegs, available in several different states. What is it?
What
looks like you got some on the East Coast there.
they're using Stisselpalt hops, 21.7 IPUs, so kind of a medium bitterness to it. Looks like it's going to be a pretty good beer. I'm thinking my next turn as host, I'm going to be doing some sort of triple or Abbey or some sort of Belgian style.
Nice. But
That is my hop topic for this week.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Okay, my tasting flight this week is Victory's Hop Devil Ale. It's Victory! Their India Pale Ale. It's from Victory Brewing Company from Downingtown, Pennsylvania. And their website is www.victorybeer.com. This is a year-round offering for them. It's not a seasonal, so you can get it all the time, which is good. It's 6.7 ABV, and the IBU was not available. I couldn't seem to pull it up anywhere. It's a little unusual, but it doesn't really matter. The malts they use are imported German two-row malt, which is a little different, I think, for an IPA. The hops, it just says American whole flowers. I'm guessing that they use, you know, Cascade or in, among others, but I'm not really sure. One interesting note for for Hop Devil. It won a few awards. It was a champion American beer at the Great British Beer Festival in 2002, Domestic Beer of the Year.
What's and better, the British or the British?
I'm going to say the British. And Details British Magazine rated it one of the 10 best summer beers in June and July of 2006. Rate Beer, it's a 98 out of 100, so they rate it pretty high.
And that's with like 1,800 ratings. That's really impressive.
Nice. And Beer Advocate, most users... rated an A-, and the Allstrom Brothers rated it an A. I didn't want to mess around this week with the Hefeweizen's rating low. I wanted something good. So I think I got it in this one.
You got to make up for that.
So I'm going to open it up.
Open that puppy.
Also, I noticed on their website that they boast NBC Philadelphia gave them the Philly's Best Brewery. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's nice. Right on the homepage, I believe.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks for the respect, Philly.
This one is a little more amber in color. It's a little different for an IPA. It definitely has kind of that amber hue to it, which is nice. The head is it's little bit darker than off-white, kind of bordering a tan, and really nice. I would say maybe about two fingers or more ahead. Oh, first whiff, I get a good like grapefruit hoppiness, like kind of hits the nose.
First whiff. Didn't sound like it.
I know. But it all in a good way. And I get like some like wet wood and honey. Ooh. Maybe even some pine, but it's got that really dirty kind of dirty good smell.
Love me some wet wood.
It's dirty, dirty.
And I'm going to take a sip.
Looks tasty.
It is tasty. I got really kind of that the same thing. It's like earthy grapefruit, little sweet honey malt going on.
Well, like I don't know if you really. I don't know if you said this or not, but the Malt Advocate magazine in 1999 gave it Domestic Beer of the Year.
Wow, oh yeah, that's kinda cool. Yeah, I mentioned that. I just didn't mention who it was from. I think I may have mixed up my stats a little bit.
You might have said it. I just wasn't listening.
That's because you're listening to British instead of British. But it's got a really prickly mouthfeel, and it's got that good, like, spicy, hoppy smell and taste. Even get some of the grassiness, which is usually you don't get unless it's like a really definitely. I think the higher end IPAs have that kind of grassiness that comes through.
Is that the Romanian pale ale?
Yes, the Romanian pale ale.
What?
RPA, I don't know.
RPA, I don't even know where that came from. But no, this one's really balanced as well. It's got good malt character just kind of showing up at the right time. You can taste the alcohol.
I would love to try Romanian pale ale.
The hops comes back and kind of lets me know that it's still there. It kind of like comes back in the aftertaste. It's a
little reminder.
Really good. Yeah. It's like, hello, I'm still here.
Sweet.
It's a really good beer. I like
it. It looks
this one.
Tasty.
It is tasty. And that reddish
hue. I hate
hue
roasting.
I wonder if
I'm
it's
always
kind
the last
of the malt.
The drink.
If it's the malt that they use that kind of gives it that reddish hue. But it's
that is pretty red.
Yeah, it's interesting and different, and I love it.
Seems to be retaining the head pretty well too.
Mm.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's still hanging out.
Some good beer, decent lacing going on there.
Yeah. if I were to pair this with anything, I'd pair it, like, I picked this dish in particular because it was a more delicate meat, and I think it kind of really kind of complements the beer. It's like a lamb curry with, like, some really, like, really fresh ground spices and onion and tomato gravy. Like, just, I really think that that would do this beer some justice because it's a little different meat for a different IPA. Thank you.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Okay, today I am doing Alaskan IPA. This is Alaskan Brewing Company out of Juneau, Alaska. They started back in 1986, and their flagship beer is the Alaskan Amber. A interesting thing about the brewery, they don't have any roads that they can export their stuff out. So a lot
of how the hell did you get this beer this week, Toby?
Everything leaves by water or air, weather permitting. So if there's really bad weather, then they don't get their beer out. Their website is www.alaskanbeer.com.
That must suck for the seasonals.
This is the IPA. It's found year-round. It's their American IPA. It's got an ABV of 6.2 and 55 IBUs. So it's right there within the typical India Pale Ale bitterness. It's made from glacier-fed water and a blend of European and Pacific Northwest hop varieties. I couldn't get any kind of specifics, but those are the varieties. Premium two-row and specialty malts. And I'm going to pop this open, but you know what? I don't need a popper because it's a twist-off.
Wow.
Interesting enough.
You don't really get that many twist-offs with the craft beers. It's almost like a stigma like attached to it.
Yeah. So upon pour,
while you're doing that and taking a look at it, the rate beer rating is a 64 out of 100, and the beer advocate rating is a B, and it doesn't look like the Alstrom brothers have weighed in on it.
Yeah, that's weird because I know that the Alaskan IPA has been around for a while. I don't know why the Alstrom boys haven't gotten to it yet.
I like this.
Well, looking at it, I get it's an average. Actually, I get about a finger and a half of head. It's nice, frothy, white head. Really nice. It's the body is very carbonated, very bubbly. It's a golden, yellow, kind of golden color, and it's actually kind of cloudy. There's a little bit of particles I can see floating through there. Really, it's not crystal. It's a little cloudy.
Is it a bottle condition, Dale? Do you know?
I don't think so. I haven't found any info on that, but...
Huh.
Yeah, I don't think it mentions that.
It's... the aroma is... I'm getting some moderate hoppiness. I get some pine, a little bit of citrus, maybe some grapefruit, and maybe some caramel malts in there. Light yeastiness and some kind of earth tones, a little bit kind of
earthy.
Maybe some honey. Getting a little bit of honey in there, some sweetness. Smells pretty good. There's not a whole lot on the hoppy side, you know. Being an IPA, the hops don't really, they're not really in front. I'm getting more of a sweet caramel maltiness in front.
Sweet caramel maltiness.
Malty goodness.
It's retaining the head pretty well. This is kind of an interesting flavor. For an IPA, I'm not getting hops.
Interesting, good.
interesting different. Good, it's bad.
Or just
it's not
just different.
Iffy. I would say this is closer to a regular pale ale. It's not very hoppy. I mean, there's some definite bitterness to it, a slight bitterness, a little dry bitterness, but the hops aren't really I get some of the sweet kind of citrusy hops in there, but nothing really is to me, this is more closer to a regular pale ale, which is interesting.
That might be your West Coast palate speaking.
It might be. The little bit of acidity, a little bit of bitterness. It finishes with a light sweetness and a little bit of bitterness in the finish. And it's pretty long, too. It's got a long-lasting aftertaste.
Is it light? Or is it the mouthfeels?
It's kind of oily into the sweetness a little bit. A medium body. It doesn't really... It's pretty good. I mean, it's got some... It's got some good... It's weird.
Stuff.
It's just not, yeah, I mean, it's just not...
It's got some good stuff in it.
It just doesn't taste like an IPA.
Hops
it's got definite lysing. Very soft, even though it looks very carbonated. The carbonation is pretty soft and finishes a little metallic-y and astringent.
Cool. What would you pair it with?
I'd say some seafood. I'd go with some, maybe even some spicy seafood.
Like some blackened something.
Yeah, maybe. But this isn't going to kill your palate. So if you went with some spicy stuff, this might actually help mellow out your palate afterwards. So I think it would pretty go with some good spicy, maybe some Asian spicy seafood, something like that.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
And this week for my tasting flight, I'm doing St. Arnold's Elisa IPA. This is coming from St. Arnold Brewing Company in Texas. The website is www.starnold.com. The style, once again, is an IPA. The ABV, it has a 6.6%. The IBUs run about 60, which on the high end, but pretty much standard for an IPA. The ingredients, it's made with all British malt. The base malt is a Maris Otter, and then it's augmented with some medium crystal malt. The only hops used, good old Cascades.
Wow, nice.
Cascade.
Yep. Couple of interesting notes.
Anybody who's listening to these shows knows that I'm a big fan of Cascade.
Excellent. The St. Arnold Brewery is Texas's oldest craft brewery at 15 years old. St. Arnold is recognized by the Catholic Church as the patron saint of brewers.
Wow. I love it.
All hail St. Arnold. Feel free to add reverb in the edit.
This beer is named after Elisa, which is a tall ship now moored in Galveston, Texas. Ships like the Elisa were used in transporting IPAs in India. That's where it gets its name from. The rate beer rating for this beer is 86 out of 100. The Beer Advocate, the users rated it a B-, and the Alston Brothers have not weighed in on this beer.
Again.
And with that said, I am going to crack her open.
I like how they...
Alston Brothers, man.
There's the historical reference. I think that's cool. When there's actually a story behind the name, you know, I think that's another cool thing about craft beer, you know, when you have a certain style and a certain name of beer that they... Wow, there's this cool story behind it. It's not just a stupid name. Not that this name is stupid or anything, but it's not
no,
just
I love
some,
that. So
right
off the bat with right off the bat with the pour, I get about a half a finger, so not a real large head on here. It's a pretty creamy, frothy head. Looks mighty tasty. The color is a fairly golden color. It's a little dark. No haze to it. It's clear, though. Some bubbles going up in it.
The edge of his glass is just kind of glowing in the sunlight there coming from the window. It's quite appetizing.
Hey, you have your own beer.
So on
Sorry. Yeah, I just
finished. On the aroma, I'm getting hops right off the bat. Some citrus, some little bit of grassiness and pininess. The nice thing about this one is along with those hop characters, I'm getting the malt character, and it's got kind of a roasted roastiness, oh, as yes. Mike likes to say,
roasted.
In the malt.
Thank you.
It's nice.
Double roasted. Take for her pleasure.
Take a sip of it.
Actually, St. Arnold Brewing Company is like Texas' oldest craft brewery, which I think is kind of cool.
Yep.
So we've got the Dogfish Head, which is the first, and the St. Arnold, which is the oldest.
Hey, wait a minute. Alaskan, I think, is the first in Alaska. No.
It's the most northern brewery.
Yeah.
I don't think we have the Arctic brewery yet.
Right. It's a very nicely carbonated beer. It's a really well-balanced IPA. It's nice and hoppy, but that malt is coming through. Very, very well done on the balance side of things.
Wow.
That's just a pint glass you're using too, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm getting that citrus in there and the pininess and the roasted roastiness. I just love that.
Did you give your Beer Advocate reviews and your beer?
I most certainly
did. In the beginning.
I don't
like
forget
he was supposed to.
Like some people do.
I was trying to cover your ass.
Would you...
thanks, but...
Would you pair it with
mine
anything?
Doesn't need it, Toby.
Would you pair it with anything, food-wise?
If I was going to pair this with something, I would probably go with something... Like a spicy pad Thai, something that's got some sweetness to it.
Pad Thai,
but
I love
but
Thai
still
food.
Got the spice. So do I.
Not to get off topic.
Yeah, but I definitely have the sweetness in the beer. I think would go nicely with the citrus and the sweetness in a pad Thai. I really like this beer a lot. I'm thinking it's very tasty.
Mm.
The lacing going down the glass is sticking pretty good, which seems to be consistent with all of the beers that we've had today. They all seem to be pretty good at lacing.
Yeah.
All praise St. Arnold.
Ba-dam.
And with that, I think I'm done.
Lisa Marie 100 says, A-hole next to me spilled his beer on my $700 shoes. No worries, his dumb girlfriend can't see me using her concert shirt to clean them. Cheers! It's the tweet of the week! Tweet of the week! It's the tweet of the week! Tweet, tweet! Tweet of the week, yeah!
Backwash. Let's check the Beer Coasters email and hotline. Yeah.
Okay, and for this week's Backwash, we have an email that we got from...
Whoa.
Okay.
I was wondering what that was.
What was that?
It was my Backwash.
That was actual Backwash.
All right. So for this week's Backwash, we got an email from Tanya, and she says... For those of us not so much in the know,
wait a minute.
Can you explain
where's Tanya from?
That would be San Diego.
San Diego. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
There is a whole other world out there, right?
So Tanya says, for those of us not so much in the know, can you explain what constitutes the term craft beer? If you could explain some of the terms you use, such as lacing, that would be totally helpful for those of us looking to learn the lingo of a true beer aficionado. Happy face.
That's you, Chris. So, you're the true beer aficionado.
Yeah. So you will have to wait another week for lacing, but as far as the definition of craft brew, here is a new segment just for you.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is craft beer. Craft beer is an American term which is also common in Canada and New Zealand and generally refers to beer that is brewed using traditional methods without adjuncts such as rice and corn, with an eye to what's distinctive and flavorful rather than mass appeal.
Last call!
Okay, and that brings us to our final segment of our show, the last call segment. First thing we want to do is go through our pint ratings for the different beers that we've tried this week and maybe talk a little bit about what our personal favorites for the style is. Mike, you want to start us off with that?
Sure. My rating on the Dogfish Head 60-minute IPA is going to be 4.5 pints. Only because I didn't give it that extra half, just because it's, I think it's like a textbook perfect IPA, but I like something a little different, a little extra, a little something else. So that's why I gave it 4.5. On the Victory Hop Devil, I gave it 5 pints. I think it's got everything an IPA is supposed to have, plus it's got more. It's got that amber color. It's got that really dirty, wet wood, honey thing going on. And as far as recommending an IPA, I was looking, and most of my favorite IPAs are actually double IPAs. So I'm going to go right back to the Victory Hop Devil as my IPA pick.
Wow.
And
sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, so there. Nice. Take that, Toby. For IPA rating.
I gave the Dogfish Head 60-minute. I was right there with you, Mike. I gave it a 4.5 because I think everything... You hit the nail on the head with all my opinions on it because it is. It's textbook. I mean, it's got the perfect amount of hops. I don't know why I didn't go 5. I think it's just because I didn't want to say that it was a full 5 pints. There may be something in there that it is lacking.
I think maybe because I've had the 90 the most part, I mean, as well, that it's maybe kind of clouding my judgment a little bit. So
yeah,
I'd have to try that again. And
for the Alaskan IPA, I gave it 3.5. I think it was a good session beer. It's definitely refreshing, and it's not too overpowering. It's not too hoppy. I said it a few times that it's more of a pale ale. So I would say if you're going into this style of beer and you haven't had an IPA and you're kind of afraid of the hops, I would say this is a good place to start because it's not too hoppy, it's not too overpowering, but it's definitely a good entry level
IPA. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Chris?
And what would you consider your kind of?
Oh rest? Yeah. You know. I didn't know that Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale was considered an IPA, but if since it is, I would say that is my all-time favorite, if not my all-time favorite beer. The most
Toby,
balanced.
You look like you're tearing up.
I
getting
once
all
had
emotional
a,
on us.
I once had a keg of this, and it was probably the most delicious, drinkable. It has everything. It's got the great maltiness. It's got the great color. It's got the great hoppiness to it. I would say that's probably one of the best beers I've ever had. It's a Sierra Nevada Celebration Ale. And it's a seasonal, too, so I can't get it year-round, which makes it that much more special, in my opinion.
Cool.
So if you could find, around the holidays, Sierra Nevada Celebration, I definitely suggest picking it up. I highly recommend it.
Awesome.
That's it.
Well, for my pint ratings this week for the Dogfish Head 60-minute IPA, I'm going to give it a 4.5 also, which is going to make this show not so good if we always agree on everything. So, but 4.5, I think it's a good solid. I do agree with its website. I think it's a good session IPA, which is, you know, almost contradictory in terms, but I do think it's mellow enough that you can have a few of them without getting completely overpowered. So 4.5 is kind of where I sit on that one. With the St. Arnold Elisa IPA, I'm going to give it a 4.5 also. I find it a very, very well-balanced IPA. It's got a lot of hop character, but also the malts come through and pronounce themselves pretty well. I like it. I like them both quite a bit. I think they're very good examples of a good style.
Nice.
Don't
count out Texas as a craft brewery state. It's actually doing
no,
okay.
No, absolutely not. If I was going to pick my own personal favorite for this style, of course I've got to go back to San Diego. You know, Stone's IPA is just right up there with one of my favorites of all time. The hop character, how aggressive the brewery is in general, definitely comes through in their IPA with a very aggressive hop style. It may not be as balanced as you know most people would want in the premier example of a style, but I like hops. I love hops. I love the flavor of hops, and that's one IPA that I really get.
That's why we wanted you to host this show.
That's why I picked it. So those are kind of our pint ratings and personal styles. And to wrap up the show, I wanted to just say a couple things. First of all, check us out on our website at www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/beercoasterspod. That's Beer Coasters, P-O-D. You can find us on Facebook. Just look for Beer Coasters Podcast. Email Backwash to backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. Or you can leave us audio Backwash at 316-221-6846.
Leave a message.
I'm not sure how that relates to Backwash.
I don't know.
It's more of like a purr than a gurgle.
Might be like my purr.
Remember that you can also find us in iTunes. Search for Beer Coasters to subscribe to our podcast, and you'll get the download every Friday as soon as it posts. Check the website on Monday for the next time on Beer Coasters. Or over the weekend sometimes. Sometimes I might get it in there a little bit early. But tell your friends. Thanks for listening.
Tell your friends, friends.
You guys have anything else?
Well, we want to thank Tanya for the Backwash this week.
Yes.
And for my tasting flight, I would just say again, check out alaskanbeer.com if you want to check out any more of their upcoming releases or different styles that they offer.
You can also check out StArnold.com for mine.
And VictoryBeer.com for mine. And one thing I wanted to add, Stone Brewery. Yeah, Stone Brewery. There we go. San Diego again. Victory Brewery is actually having a jazz festival on June 7th.
Oh, yeah.
And that is in, and of course I lost the link because I need to talk about it right now. But it's June 7th, somewhere in Philadelphia. Thank you.
Awesome. And with that, I think we close out the show. Thanks for listening once again to the Beer Coasters Podcast, and tune in next Friday.
Thank you. Don't drink and drive. Support Cheers. Your local craft brewer.
All hail St. Arnold's.